Welcome back, everybody, to Perspective. I'm your host, Rakesh Lalu, and thank you so much for tuning in. I'm grateful to be here and so grateful to all of you who are listening to this episode. The past couple of months have been really interesting. The kids were on summer break, and the energy and codes during the summer were so strong, I had to spend some time integrating these new codes into my being. Disha and I decided to really be present with the kids and spend as much time as we could with them. We had a great summer, and I hope all of you did as well. I know I haven't recorded a podcast episode for a few months, but I'm happy to be back with renewed focus and integration. Disha and I will definitely do our best to release more content moving forward more often. We have so much that we'd like to share with all of you. This week's episode is going to be about alcohol. Yeah, that's right, alcohol. It's inspired by events from the summer, and I felt the calling to create this episode. Now, before I get into it, I want to put a disclaimer out there that this episode will most likely trigger some of you. I'm going to share a bit about my journey with alcohol and some facts I learned along the way. If this episode triggers you, I want you to understand that you will feel the urge to externalize the triggers. We naturally want to blame everything outside of us for the way we feel. But understand that the triggers you're feeling is inside of you. So take some time to look within to understand why you're feeling that way. My intention is not to trigger you, but to bring more awareness and shine a light on the subject that I'm so passionate about. Okay, maybe it's to trigger people a little bit. Some of you may be listening to this episode and think that I'm biased towards alcohol because those who know me know that I'm alcohol-free. If you're thinking this, I want to squash it right here and now. Let's look at some facts about my journey with alcohol. I've been consuming alcohol since I was 16 years old. Yes, that's right, 16. How, you may ask? Because the age limit where I live is 19. Well, the Eldorado Cold Beer and Wine in East Van used to sell it to me because they never asked me for ID. All I had to do was talk with a deeper voice and be as confident as I could be. It worked like a charm every time. And if that didn't work, or wasn't available to me, I'd get my older cousins to buy it for me against their will. For some reason, they always said they wouldn't, but always came through for me and my friends. Anyway, I'm 41 today, and I've been alcohol-free for just over a year and 2 months. This goes to show that I consumed alcohol for 24 years before deciding to go alcohol-free. Most of it was consumed in my 20s and early 30s, where I'd go clubbing every week, sometimes even twice a week. Now when I think back at it, I don't even know how I drank till 4 in the morning and went to work at 9 the next day. Anyway, my point is that my perspective is not biased at all because this 24 years of drinking versus 1 of being alcohol free. But this 1 year of being alcohol free has overpowered the last 24 years and has me questioning why I consumed alcohol in the first place. Being alcohol free is so much better than consuming it. You don't know until you've been on this side of the island for at least a year. I was on the verge of quitting for about 3 years. I substantially reduced the amount I was consuming and started to set boundaries with it. For years, going out with my friends and cousins, it revolved around alcohol. Going out to a bar or club, watching the game, going to play hockey, going over to someone's house for a dinner party, or just any meetup in general, always involved alcohol. I started to see that every outing and get-together revolved around it. I remember in my clubbing days, it would literally be, where are we gonna pre-drink before the club, and how are we gonna stay buzzed while we wait in line to get in? So we better have enough now, or the buzz is gonna fade. And if it did fade, once we got in, we'd take shot after shot just to get back to where we were in a hurry. It was crazy. The hardest part was the social aspect. When I think about it, I never had an addiction to alcohol. My addiction was with weed, but that's a story for another day. I drank alcohol because it was so socially accepted. It's so ingrained into our society as normal that if you didn't drink with the group of people that you always drank with, all of a sudden there's something wrong with you. People would cringe their face when I said no. They would say things like, "Why? What's wrong with you? Are you okay? Just have one drink. I don't understand. I don't get it. He's suffering from mental health. That's why he's not drinking." I feel like I heard it all. These reactions would trigger me, so I set even more boundaries and simply stopped going to gatherings so I didn't have to deal with these types of responses. It was hard for me. Eventually, this boundary that I set led me to not being invited anymore to these types of gatherings. At first, it did hurt my feelings. I mean, I'm still human, right? But then, all of a sudden, I started to feel this sense of JOMO, the joy of missing out. Anyway, I just couldn't understand why people were reacting this way. But I appreciate and love all of you who did react this way because it taught me a lot about myself. Another quick fact. In the US last year, there were roughly 30,000 deaths related to cocaine overdose. Now, this is crazy. Compare this to the 178,000 deaths that were from excessive alcohol consumption. Yet in our society, you can drink as much alcohol as you desire and it's okay with everyone. But if I start doing cocaine lines in front of my family and friends, I'd be disowned. I understand that more of us out there drink alcohol versus doing hard drugs, but the numbers don't lie. It's still a huge problem in our society. Anyway, I'm not trying to point any fingers, and I don't blame or hold anything against anybody, nor do I pass judgment for reacting the way they did, but you all know who you are. I reacted the same way in the past as well, because I thought and felt the same way. I couldn't understand when somebody said no when I offered and would push and force people to drink. I'm sorry to all of you out there who I've peer pressured in the past to drink alcohol or smoke weed. Now that I've experienced the other end of this, I see now the deep conditioning and programming in our society with alcohol. I want you to all remember that prior to about 1920-ish, alcohol was illegal. Now, let's not forget that alcohol is a drug. Don't try and convince yourself otherwise because this is a fact. You can tell yourself whatever you want, society can say whatever it wants, but that's the truth. It's the most socially accepted and consumed drug in the history of humanity. I believe that it was eventually legalized because the government just saw an opportunity to tax the shit out of it, and something similar is happening with cannabis today. But that's just my opinion. It doesn't matter where you go or what you do in life. Alcohol is everywhere. You watch a TV show or a movie, go out to a bar or a restaurant. Hell, even after playing a rec hockey or soccer game, everybody's drinking alcohol. Advertising and marketing tells us that it's needed to celebrate. We need it for gatherings, to watch the game, to relieve stress, after funerals, with dinner, and everything else in between. This has been decades of marketing and advertising that's so ingrained into our culture and society that it's hard to break free from this programming. Once you go alcohol free for at least a year, you start to see it from the outside in. You start to see that it's not needed to have fun, connect, to celebrate when you're sad or stressed. I have just as much fun without alcohol when I'm out, but I only figured that out after I stopped. Now here is a fact that was eye-opening for me. There were approximately 3 million alcohol-related deaths last year. 3 million. That's a huge number. Now let's put this into perspective. When COVID hit, in the first year, roughly 9 million people passed away from it. This is a pandemic of a lifetime we're talking about. The top 5 causes of death worldwide are heart disease, now COVID, stroke, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and lower respiratory infections at number 5. Number 5, which is lower respiratory infections, sits at approximately 2.5 million deaths, and number 4 is pulmonary disease, sitting at about 3 million deaths. That means alcohol-related deaths is easily in the top 5 causes of deaths worldwide, beating out Alzheimer's, dementia, kidney disease, and tuberculosis. Alcohol-related deaths are at pandemic levels year in and year out, yet it's given no attention at how serious it is. So many lives are lost and so many families are destroyed because of alcohol addiction. Maybe a life was lost from liver failure, or maybe a life was lost because somebody got hit by a drunk driver, or deterioration of the body over time. The fact remains that alcohol-related deaths are at ridiculous levels, and something needs to be done about it. The WHO and governments are fully aware of this, and they're doing absolutely nothing. Why did this not even make the list of top causes of death? I posted a video on Instagram in the summer when a close family member of mine almost died from alcoholism. Many years ago, I lost my uncle who I loved so much to alcoholism, so I felt like I had to do something at this point when I felt so powerless. Even though I felt like it did nothing, deep inside I chose to believe that it did touch somebody out there. I'd also like to mention that the same people who are reacting negatively to me not drinking anymore are the exact same people that said there's no way he can stop drinking. He can't do it. He won't recover from this. Well, he proved you all wrong because he did stop drinking and he did recover from it. I'm so proud of my family member who fought through all of this negativity and managed to recover and go alcohol free and use this negativity to drive him. Instead of being so negative, I, for one, was rooting for him. I sent positive vibes and told him that as hard as it will be, I knew he could do it. So again, I like to go back to the notion that these reactions you're having to trigger such responses is something happening inside of you. So look in the mirror and ask yourself why you're reacting this way. Is it maybe that deep down inside your soul is yearning to stop drinking alcohol as well? Really think about it. In a world where negativity is 90% of what surrounds us, why can't we just support our loved ones by believing in them? Capture those negative thoughts and don't project them outwards. Try to alchemize these thoughts into something positive, and this can help raise the vibrational frequency, not just for you, but for the rest of us. I didn't know this, but alcohol withdrawal can be so intense that you can literally die from it. Now, if that doesn't prove to you that alcohol is the worst drug on the planet and the most dangerous drug on the planet, I don't know what will. The only other drugs that are listed under this classification where you can die from withdrawal symptoms are opioids and benzodiazepines, which are antidepressants. All these drugs are legal and available with prescription. Drugs that will kill you if you have too much, then can kill you from the withdrawal when you try and stop. That's messed up. I just don't understand why our government, who apparently looks after our best interests, would allow alcohol to be legal when they are fully aware of these statistics. Clearly, they don't have our health and well-being at the top of their list. Now, don't get me wrong. Alcohol is poisonous and so destructive in our society and culture. But every other cause for death in the top 10 is most likely related to our nutrition and the ultra-processed foods we eat. But we're going to save that conversation for another episode because it's a separate conversation in itself. Now I want to talk about what happens with our body and our brain when we consume alcohol. Something similar occurs when you partake in any addictive behavior. So if you gamble or do any other drugs on a regular basis, I want you to really listen and think about what I'm going to say. Start to really become more aware of what's happening within your body and mind, because it's the process that leads directly to addiction, whether you want to admit it or not. This happened to me with weed. When you consume alcohol, there are two neurotransmitters that are engaged: dopamine, which makes us feel pleasure, satisfaction, and motivation, and then there's cortisol, which causes stress, commonly known as the stress hormone. I also want to mention that it's the brain and body's responsibility to provide balance to these neurotransmitters when there are huge spikes with them. So let's talk about when you have that first drink. You have that beer, glass of wine, whatever you choose to drink, and right away, two things are happening with your brain and body. You get a huge artificial spike in dopamine, which makes your mind think you feel good, and you're getting a huge spike in cortisol, which brings a large amount of stress to your body. After 15 to 30 minutes, depending on the person, our brain sees this artificial spike in dopamine and brings it back down to balance it with the cortisol in our body. Now all of a sudden, we don't feel good anymore, so we obviously want another drink to get that spike in dopamine to feel good again, because all we feel now is the cortisol in our body. Now our brain is thinking, what's going on here? Why is there another huge artificial spike in dopamine? So this time, the brain decides to put the dopamine at a deficit, because the artificial spikes are too large, thinking, okay, if I put it at a deficit, then it should be more balanced. Now, when the good feeling from your second drink fades, all of a sudden, you feel even more stress from the cortisol and need that third drink so badly because the dopamine was at a deficit this time. So you feel the hit of cortisol even harder. This is an ongoing game that's occurring when drinking alcohol. Same goes for gambling, weed, or any other addiction. So when you were a kid, when you watched the game, went to a movie, went out with your friends, or anything for that matter, you got a natural spike in dopamine that made you feel good. It was coming from a par level. Now, as you get older, you're doing those same things, but with alcohol involved. All of a sudden, it's making you feel like these same experiences are better with alcohol. This is because when you're working from a deficit, it's bringing these levels of dopamine back to par levels, so it doesn't feel as good. When you have these same experiences without alcohol, it feels like you're not enjoying it as much as you did before. Same thing goes for gambling. Think back to when you were a kid. You played card games and watched the big game, and you had so much fun and were super excited about it. But as an adult, you started to place bets on the game. The spike in dopamine and cortisol is like a roller coaster ride with huge ups and downs throughout the whole game. Now all of a sudden, when you just watch the game without it, you don't even really pay attention to it anymore because you're not getting that same artificial spike in dopamine from betting. Really think about this. It took me some time to get over this swing and roller coaster. For me, it was mostly tied to weed. Weed to me just made everything better. Movies and TV were more enjoyable, and food, oh my god, food tasted way better. Even just being at a gathering filled me with a sense of calm and released me from the social anxiety I didn't even know I had. It took time, but I'm at a place now where I enjoy these same experiences like I did when I was a kid. And now I understand the social anxiety that I had. Alcohol is as dangerous as it gets. I know what you're thinking. Well, I only drink on the weekends, or I only drink when I'm out socially, or I love the taste of beer or wine. Just FYI, all of our senses are controlled by our brain, including taste. So if you're telling yourself you drink because you like the taste, that's also coming from the roller coaster of craving a spike in dopamine. That's where I was at. I was like, what's the harm? I already drink less than everyone else, and I only drink when I'm out socially, and I love the taste of beer and wine. I'll just stop drinking hard liquor. That was the sacrifice I made to justify drinking beer and wine because I love the taste. At least that's what my brain was telling my sense of taste. I realized that for all these years, I didn't even like drinking alcohol, and frankly, I turned into an asshole. The only reason why I was drinking was because I didn't want to be different from everyone else. I felt like I'd be seen as a weirdo if I didn't. I'm going to share something, and I've only ever told Disha this, but in my 20s when I was going clubbing, towards the end of the night when it was last call and the others ran to the bar to get another beer, I'd also go to get another beer even though I didn't want it, but when they weren't looking, I'd pour it out. It only happened a few times. But I didn't want to say no to having another drink because I was afraid I'd be called a pussy. Anyway, when I did cut down and eventually stop drinking more recently, the way some people reacted was eye-opening. Some were clearly annoyed that I was saying no and would say, just have one drink, what's wrong with you? The question you should be asking isn't what's wrong with me, the question is what's going on with you? I didn't need alcohol anymore to suppress my stress, anxiety, and negative emotions. I no longer needed alcohol to use to self-medicate myself or use it as a means to fit in. Through my inner work and healing journey, I started to see that everybody drinks alcohol and does drugs so they don't have to deal with themselves. It's way easier to just drink and bottle everything up versus having to deal with our daily stress, anxiety, and negative emotions. Alcohol addiction is life-threatening, even if it's just one or a few in the weekends. I also want to show my gratitude to those who've been so supportive throughout this journey. Thank you for making it easier on me and everyone else who decided to go alcohol-free. I really appreciate you, and I love you. From a psychology perspective, you're considered an alcoholic if you have 5 or more drinks in a week. So it doesn't matter if you just drink in the weekends or once or twice a week. On average, if you have more than 5 drinks per week, you're considered an alcoholic. So zoom out and look at it as a full year. No, I don't really agree with this fully, and I'm sure some of you may see it differently too. I was addicted to weed because for over a decade, I did it every day. With that said, I was able to go a couple of weeks without it when on vacation or if other circumstances came up where I couldn't do it. But as soon as it was available to me, I did it. It just became second nature to me. Now, let's say if you only drink socially or you only drink in the weekends and you have less than 5 drinks in a week, or you drink beer and wine because you love the taste. Well, right now you're thinking to yourself, I'm not an alcoholic. I have it under control, and I have control in my mind and thoughts about it. Well, now think about this. If you drink socially, why do you need to have those 1 or 2 drinks? Do you absolutely need to have it? If so, why is that? Really think about it and ask yourself. If it's something that you absolutely need in that situation, isn't that an addiction? Same thing goes with drinking only in the weekends. Most will say, well, it helps me relax and unwind at the end of a long day or week. Okay. So are you saying that you need to drink alcohol at the end of a long day or week? Can't you go for a walk, meditate, or sit with your thoughts to unwind from the stress? If you can't stop yourself from having that drink, isn't that an addiction? Wouldn't it be better to choose something that's beneficial for our mind and body to de-stress versus something that's deteriorating our mental and physical health over time? And if it's because you love the taste, why can't you have alcohol-free beer and wine instead? That's what I do on occasion, and it satisfies my craving. I've heard so many people tell me since I've stopped drinking that they drink less and that they have it under control. And I'm proud of all of you. That's amazing. I don't know why, but people just bring it up with me. I guess maybe it's my energy that others are feeling. The most ironic thing is that people have brought this up literally while they're consuming alcohol. How about that? Now, I'm not judging anybody, nor am I telling anybody to stop drinking alcohol, because I was in it pretty deep for 24 years. I was just like the rest of them. But just 1 year of being alcohol-free changed my life in so many ways and alchemized my perspective towards it. I feel more energetic. I lost weight. There's no more fog in my head. I feel more clear-headed. I don't have to deal with hangovers. I can process my emotions and stress and not bottle it up with self-medication. And my blood pressure, which was borderline at the time, is in check. If you're suffering from high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, liver issues, etc., stop drinking alcohol. Getting on medication is only a band-aid and it doesn't fix the root cause. It's a means to an end. If you're taking these medications and still drinking alcohol, you're making your liver work even harder because it's also processed by your liver. Sometimes the answer is not what we need to take, but what we need to remove. I know that when I had borderline blood pressure and severe anxiety and depression, I was telling myself, it's not the weed, it's not the alcohol. The weed lowers my blood pressure when I'm high. Trust me, I tested it. And I barely drink as it is. It's not that. It's got to be work stress, life stress, with a new house and mortgage, 2 young kids and so on. I started to eat healthy, meditate, exercise, and stopped working to focus on the kids. Yet the blood pressure was still borderline. As soon as I stopped smoking weed, and a year later stopped with drinking alcohol, suddenly, magically, the blood pressure was back to normal. The doctors told me it was hereditary and there wasn't much I could do about it outside of exercise and eating healthier and making better choices. They said I may have no choice but to get on medication to keep it under control, even though I was doing all those other things. Well, what part of this is hereditary? Is it what's in our bloodline that's causing this? Or maybe, just maybe, is it the continuing cycle that's repeating through the generations? The continuing cycle of using substances to avoid having to deal with our stress, anxiety, and negative emotions. Really think about this. Quantum physics has proven that we can be dealing with pain and suffering passed down from three generations prior to our current lifetime. That means that in our DNA, we could be dealing with stress, anxiety, and karma from as far back as our great-grandparents. I've also read that it can go back as far as 7 generations. If they suffered from the same health issues, it may have been passed down to us, and it will continue down the bloodline until somebody breaks the cycle. So really think about it. Why not be brave and be bold and stop drinking? If you ask yourself this question and something inside of you says no, engage with that voice. Ask it why you need to still have alcohol even in small amounts. What's the point in having that one beer or glass of wine? Why can't it be an alcohol-free version? The fact is that no amount of alcohol is good for you, whether it's one drink or 10 drinks. There is testing with our hair strands now that can detect alcohol in our body for up to 6 months. Yeah, that's right, 6 months. So one drink stays with you a lot longer than you realize. Now, if you got this far into the episode, I applaud you. My hope is that I brought more awareness for you when it comes to alcohol. I want to reiterate that I'm not telling anybody to stop drinking, nor am I judging you for doing so. I'm only trying my best to shine a light on what's so obvious to me now. The decision to stop or continue consuming alcohol is one that only you can make as an individual. I made this decision to stop, not just for my own health and well-being, but I also did it for my children. I grew up thinking that alcohol was cool, it's what brought life to the party, it's what brought peace when you were stressed, because that's what my parents' generation did and still do every day. I broke this cycle and was brave enough to be the one to create change for my family because I didn't want my children to grow up thinking the same way I did about alcohol. I didn't want for them to have to suffer from having to try and break the same cycle. In this day and age, and with how deeply ingrained alcohol is in our culture, it takes a lot of courage to stand up against it and say no and be different. I broke the cycle because I didn't want to risk it repeating again with my children. I wanted them to see that alcohol isn't needed to have fun, relax, and enjoy yourself. You can live life and enjoy every aspect of it without these substances. So if you have children, if you've lost loved ones from alcohol like I have, really think about it and start asking yourself why. If you decide to stop drinking or cut down, that's amazing. If you want to do it for your children, for your family and friends, that's amazing. But first and foremost, do it for yourself, because once you stop and you get on the alcohol-free island, it's so much better than the other side. You don't know until you know. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you for listening to my story and my perspective on alcohol, and I hope that it connected with you. There's so much more that I can talk about, but I'm going to stop it right here. I have lots of love for all of you out there, and if you want to share your story or just talk and connect, reach out to me, and I'd be more than happy to listen. If you're enjoying these conversations, please like and share with others who may benefit from listening. It really helps them, and it also helps me expand my reach.